Greenhorn. This is Severin, and this is Greenhorn Radio. We are so excited to be once again Thursday afternoon. Time for another report from the front. This time from the front of our great ship as a nation, bowsprit of that ship, Washington, D.C. And I'm here joined by my colleague in arms, Sen Shute. And we are giving you a report from the Drake Forum for Beginning Farmers. It is called America's New Farmers, Policy Innovations and Opportunities. And it's a two-day-long, very intensive forum with, I don't know, like 60 speakers, intended to inform policymakers about the needs, challenges, and opportunities available for beginning farmers in this country. So, Ben, would you mind introducing yourself?
I am Ben Shute, and I run Hardy Roots Community Farm in Tivoli, New York, in the Hudson River Valley. And I have been working together with Severin and with Lindsay Lesher Shute to found a National Young Farmers Coalition to bring together young farmers around policy reform and networking and building structures together across this great nation.
So Ben has been feeding a lot of people for the last
seven
years, increasing numbers of people. And now has engaged with me also in thinking how we can work really as young farmers for young farmers to create practical political and social structures that will support our work. And those are the three areas in which we're committed to working. So we're thrilled because it's kind of the debut of our organization. Our organization, which we formed and registered with the state only a month ago, two weeks ago. And
it's at youngfarmers.org.
And it is, you can very easily become a part of this new organization if you are, in fact, a young farmer or just want to be a young member of our organization. It's called youngfarmers.org. There's a sign-up sheet on the homepage. Our logo is up there. It's designed by Amy Franceschini, who many of you know from the Future Farmers Arts Collaborative Project in San Francisco. Ben, would you mind giving a little report about who's here at the conference and what they're bringing to the table?
So today we arrived here in D.C. at this conference, and things started off bright and early this morning with some speeches by the U.S. Secretary of Agriculture, Tom Vilsack, and he had some not particularly controversial words to share with us. But the people who are here overall are, some policymakers and academics and young farmers. We were actually expecting the young farmer component of things here to be maybe a little under, and we've been, I'd say, probably a lot of young pieces here, and So we've seen a lot of young farmers here, which we're pleasantly surprised by, but also lots of policymakers and academic folks, USDA folks, and there's been some good panels and Q&A. There hasn't been a whole lot of brainstorming or workshopping or kind of efforts to have more like open space or development from the crowd of new policy ideas and things like that. Haven't seen that so far. It's been more of that kind of traditional presentation panel format, and so we'll see where that goes.
Well, and the fact that we have the expectation that there'll be more engagement and more participant-generated ideas is, in fact, very indicative of our attitude as a generation. You know, we're here to get stuff done. We're here to vote with our lives. We're ready to spend, you know, the next 20, 30, 40 years of our lives building businesses, rebuilding communities, restoring local economies, and it's very serious for us. So we're not quite necessarily as trained into the idea where you just kind of bring your idea to the king with a nice red cushion and hope that it's accepted. So I think that it's actually very telling that we have an expectation that new ways of business and new kinds of new kinds of institutions will begin forming, and new kinds of programming that are going to help young farmers will be emergent in this situation.
And, you know, it's interesting, the two most traditionally, I guess, powerful people that we had participate so far in this conference were Secretary of Agriculture, Vilsack, and then Senator Tom Harkin, who's a pretty, a long time old school big wig in Washington, and greatly involved in agriculture and essentially like had a big hand in shaping multiple farm bills. He presented to the group. And it was interesting to me to hear from both of those guys. No revolutionary ideas for sure. It's interesting to me that they both unprompted mentioned community supported agriculture. Since I'm a CSA farmer and I'm not used to hearing that in the mainstream. But again, I think there was nothing super revolutionary, and I heard them both, I believe, use the word niche, and I always cringe a little bit at that because, you can't really niche your way out of a crisis, and you can't really niche your way to a revolution in ag policy and farm policy. So, it's interesting to hear those baby steps, but again, we're not hearing anything or anyone really inviting great strides in this arena.
At the same time, both Vilsack and Harkin said, listen, I'm open. I want to hear new ideas. We recognize there are new players. We're seeing an increase in the new small farmers, in the young farmers, in the diversity of farmers, women farmers. Interestingly, there's an 88% increase in the last census of indigenous farmers. They're seeing the numbers change. It's not just white guys age 60 raising soybeans necessarily anymore, even if pretty much 60% of the people we've been talking or hearing from today have been from Iowa and have been indeed white men over 50. They are expressing a willingness to listen and an understanding implicit in their comments that what has been the federal policy and what has been our farm policy hasn't been working. Vilsack said, "What we've been trying hasn't been working. What we've been doing hasn't been enough, and not just for the last." He said, "Not just for the last few years, but for the last few decades." So that's an acknowledgement of a structural crisis that we've been, as young farmers and new players in this field, really keenly aware of. But to see that in Washington, the head of the USDA carries that awareness, that's very encouraging to me.
And it's also, I've heard a couple times today, as people have kind of described the opportunities within the USDA for making some changes. Of course, they have billions and billions and billions of dollars that they use and already influence the future of agriculture with and the present of agriculture with. But even the most optimistic people who've talked today about efforts to change the USDA have referred to the speed of those efforts as glacial. And, from the National Young Farmers Coalition perspective, the project we're working on, it kind of points out to us the necessity of working on multiple fronts. And so in terms of, like, policy development, of course, maybe these changes will happen at a somewhat glacial pace, but the USDA is this mammoth organization with so many resources that, changing it at a glacial pace makes huge impacts in the long term or sometimes even in the short term. And then, of course, we also want to be focusing on, very much local or state policy where things can sometimes happen a little quicker and a little more radically. And but at the same time, we need to be looking at other ways that our coalition and our movement can create change without having to rely on mammoth institutions like the USDA and, things that we can do as a network and do kind of horizontally among ourselves and at the grassroots level to further our movement. And it was, one thing I've been thinking a lot about is how the sustainable ag movement and young farmers movement has really made a lot of progress in kind of creating its own training networks through apprenticeships and skill shares and all those kinds of things, incubator farms. And in a large part, it's made great strides on its own in doing those things. And I was interested to hear this morning from a young farmer, Zoe Bradbury from Oregon, who's been a really great kind of young leader in the young farming movement, some of her perspectives on the apprenticeship system. And actually, she and I both have worked at the same farm in Oregon where we did apprenticeships her criticism was that apprenticeships in a lot of farms are essentially carried out illegally because people are being paid below minimum wage, And some states, including Oregon, have cracked down on those arrangements. And now apprenticeship programs that were once kind of a very reliable go-to place for young farmers to learn have been shuttered because of some of those concerns about legality. And there's always particular concerns about kind of fairness to young farmers who want to get started and who need maybe some money together to take the next step and start their own operation. And she had some great thoughts about kind of shifting from an apprenticeship program to a journeyperson program where things were taken a little more seriously, funded a little bit better. Maybe young farmers were committing to longer stints at their host farms to be able to provide them with more of themselves in return for getting more from the host farmers. So I think that's something we need to think about as a movement as we go forward and reform our own, you know, grassroots practices.
Yeah, and walking around the hallways and kind of bumping into people here, I've just been struck once again by how powerful our network, our kind of young farmer, young activist network is in this country, and just so many familiar faces that I'm seeing and sharing smiles with. You know, we have confidence in ourselves, and we have confidence in our teammates, I think, much more than the confidence I feel in my kind of encounter with power and the powers that be. What I'm really struck with is my confidence in these people that I know who are doing tangible things in the real world and building relationships and building their businesses. And it's that wisdom in the group that we just have to figure out how to make sure that wisdom and that collaborative understanding of where we kind of collectively need to go gets turned into the structures and the pillars of policy. And I think that there is a willingness of the people here who are coming from a policy background, chiefly among whom, in my confidence, is Amy Witteman from the Sustainable Ag Coalition. You know, she's the kind of person who is from our generation, understands where farmers are at, and has a policy background to be able to translate our asks into asks for reform in the next Farm Bill 2012. Wow. Here we come. So what else do you want to talk about? We got some time. Another thing I just wanted to talk about is the upcoming things that should be on your calendar as Greenhorn's teammates and as Young Farmer Coalition mates. First of all, please do join the MAP. It's really compelling. Tomorrow, when I make my presentation to this audience, talking about the new networks and its tribes, networks, and coalitions panel, to be able to show all those dots and demonstrate the growing numbers of young farmers is incredibly powerful visual representation that makes when you sign up on the MAP. The other thing is that we're interested to hear your thoughts and comments about how, on a practical, political, and social level, we can enhance the opportunities and enhance the peer-to-peer learning opportunities available to new and beginning farmers across the country. How would that look in your community, and what resources or institutions exist already that would hold and host those kinds of programs? What are your ideas, and what can you do to make sure that educational enhancement and team building happens?
And to kind of give you a little more sense of this project, this National Young Farmers Coalition project that we've been trying to get off the ground, it really had been on a lot of people's minds, I think, in this community for a while, the fact that if we as a Young Farmers Movement could get a little more organized and a little better network overall, then we could have a bigger effect in making things better for ourselves and for others who want to be doing what we're doing and getting into farming. And there were a lot of conversations that had one in particular at the Young Farmers Conference at the Stone Barn Center back in December that really kind of brought together and solidified some of those ideas and thoughts that people had been having and led to the official creation of a National Young Farmers Coalition. But at this point, really, it's been a few of us trying to kind of do the groundwork to just get a kernel of a structure together, an official legal structure, an organization, and a kind of a platform and a website and a way for us to begin to gather, just kind of a tool for us to gather around and a platform for us to...
So, as young farmers, we really have the responsibility to recognize our own power, and many of us have, in choosing to become young farmers, done exactly that, and we have, I think, to continue to courageously muscle up our voice and say, we as citizens, as eaters, and as producers of the food that our nation needs to eat, we are ready to work on our own behalf, and we are ready and willing to work on behalf of those who will follow us. And there's something incredibly compelling in this political moment, I think, especially about kind of what they say, shovel-ready proposition. So, you know, not only are we shovel-ready, ready to invest in local economies, ready to start small businesses, ready to work on the ground level on these nutrition issues that are, you know, deeply debilitating to our society's future, but we're eager to do it, and we're doing it ourselves. So it's not some abstract idea. It's not some task that we're giving on to some other people, you know, that they should do it. You know, we are ourselves ready to spend the time outside carrying around water and schlepping around hose and sticking our fingers and our tractors into the ground to make this happen. So that's a pretty compelling kind of a service, and I think that makes the ask a little bit easier. Is, you know, we're not with our hands out, we're with our hands offering food. And we just learned today from Secretary Vilsack, 45% of the armed services are coming from rural areas. So the service of the rural to the urban is a big tradition in our country, and as servers of food and as servers of nutrition, we really need for our tax dollars to be allocated in such a way that we may continue to serve and that we may sustainably serve our nation. With that, I wanted to say thank you for listening. I want to just quickly go over some upcoming events. Do you have any closing statements? Prepare them for a second. Greenhorns is co-hosting an event on the weekend of Vernal Equinox, which is March 20th and 21st, at Kinderhook Farm. That's in Volusia, New York. It's train accessible from Hudson Train Station on Amtrak. It's a two-day educational celebrational event where we will butcher a lamb, tan its hide, dye its fleece, feast on its flesh, and then dance the night away, courtesy of a band called Red Rooster from Brooklyn. And then on the Sunday, there'll be various field trips and more workshops about how to prepare meat from frozen, from fresh to frozen, visiting a sheep milk cheese farm up the road, and a couple other things. So if you're interested to be a part of the Vernal Equinox Hoggett Cook-Off, I would urge you please to visit our blog and follow the directions and read the descriptions that are there to get involved. Also, next weekend, the 13th of March, is the Food Farm Film Fest at Williams College. That's a three-day-long celebration of food and film and farms in Williamstown, Massachusetts. I'll be there speaking, as will Aaron Wolf of King Corn fame, along with many other filmmakers and activists. And it's a wonderful moment when some of the brightest of the liberal arts students are tuning into these issues. We really need those bright minds. Bright minds from all different parts of this country and all different backgrounds, even if they happen to have expressed their love of nature through an environmental science degree. If we can get that love of nature expressed outdoors in the context of food production, so much the merrier. We need them all. So we'll see you if you can in Williamstown, Massachusetts, or in Volusia, New York. Many other upcoming events, West Virginia, Michigan, Wisconsin, North Carolina, Oregon, California, Montana. Those are all coming up. So please tune in, turn on, and get involved. love to collaborate with you in your local area to make a venue for the social engagement and interaction of the young farmers to feed the place that you love. Is that it? If you're interested to learn more about the National Young Farmer Coalition, please visit our website, www.youngfarmers.org. That's all for now. See you next week, sponsored by Hearst Ranch. This is Severin for the Greenhorns. Have a lovely weekend.